You know, sometimes in our lives, we're waiting for a breakthrough. We may be looking for a breakthrough in the area of health and healing. Or maybe we're looking for a breakthrough in the area of finances or any other area. But we're looking for a breakthrough. And most people are looking for that. They're saying, Lord, I want to see a breakthrough here. You know, I don't want life as normal. I want to see something supernatural or not ordinary, but out of the ordinary happen. And if you talk to people, most people would say that that breakthrough is related to finances. All right? They say, Lord, I want a breakthrough in my finance. How many would like to have more than they normal, than they have now? Most people say, yes, I'd like to have a little bit more. Yes, more. You know, and a breakthrough. And we're going to look at an account in the Old Testament where there was a lady who wanted a breakthrough. Okay? And Corinthians tells us that the things that are written in the Old Testament are written as examples for us. Okay? And they are written to teach us. So we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to look at an account of a lady. And she was a widow. And she was looking for a breakthrough. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17. And if you look there, we see that there was a lady who lived in a place called Zarephath. Okay? And she was in bad shape. We'll read it in a bit. But she was in bad shape. She was a widow. That was bad enough. Secondly, she had a son, and they didn't have enough food to eat. All she had was a little flour and a little oil. That was it. And that was their last meal, and all they were planning to do was to cook that little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Both of them would eat, and they were thinking they would die after that. That was the desperate condition they were in. Do you think she needed a breakthrough? Yes, she needed a breakthrough. She had nothing. Okay? And maybe you are in a situation today, okay, where you're saying, I also want a breakthrough, either financially or healing or some other situation in your life. And we'll see what happened. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, the background is this. The great prophet Elijah was told by God to go to Ahab, the most wicked king, and to the husband of Jezebel, and to tell him that there is not going to be any rain on the land till I say so. All right? So this is what he did. So Ahab did that, and he ran away. He went left. And there was no rain on the land. Okay? And what God did is, in verse 2, he says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah went to this brook, okay, and he was there, and he was being fed and looked after by ravens, a form of crows, I think. And how did they look after him? Well, there was water in the brook, okay, but every morning and every night, this is what the ravens did, okay? So verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Isn't that amazing how God supernaturally sustained Elijah? That the ravens fed him. Wonderful. But then, after some time, this is what happened. There was no rain. And verse 7, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. So that got over. And Elijah must have been saying, Lord, now what? So he also needed a breakthrough. Okay? And this is what the Lord said to him. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. Great, so Elijah must be wondering, okay, who's this person in Zarephath that's going to look after me and meet my needs? He says, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. You know, so Elijah must be thinking, widow? Maybe she's a rich widow. Okay, perhaps, you know, there could be. So, but he didn't know the background situation. Okay, so he goes to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink?" Now, thankfully, the widow had water. So she said, "Sure, I'll bring water." And she went to get the water. And as she was going, look at verse 11. As she was going to get it, he called, "And please bring me a piece of bread." Okay, now tell me, if somebody asked you for a piece of bread, would you be able to give it to them? Yeah, easily. You know, come to my house, we've got many pieces of bread. No, not an issue. But for this widow, a piece of bread was a big thing. How big was it? See what she says. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a..." She didn't even have a gas. "I'm going to go home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." So here was a widow who was poor. She needed a breakthrough. Okay? She had just enough for one little meal. And she was going to cook it, make a little piece of bread. That wasn't a lavish meal. Just a little piece of bread. That's what they were going to eat and then die. Okay? And that was the situation. This widow was looking for a breakthrough. And God provided her with an opportunity for a breakthrough. Think about it. That's what God did. Okay? She needed a breakthrough, and God, in the form of Elijah, provided her an opportunity where she could get a breakthrough in her life. And this is what Elijah said to her. He said, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said." Okay? Go home, gather the sticks, go home, make that bread with a little flour that you have, a little oil. "But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me." Okay? "And then make something for yourself and your son." Now, here's the test. He's saying, listen, go home, go and make that bread. But first, everybody say first. First, you give me a piece of the bread. All right? And then you go and have the rest. What is that? And make something for yourself and your son. Okay? And then he gives them the promise. "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain in the land." Whoa, what a promise. So here the widow has an opportunity to receive her breakthrough. And Elijah is saying, "You have little. I know. It's okay. Give me that little. All right? Give me that little. And this is what is going to happen. If you give me that little that's enough for maybe one bread, The Lord is going to give you enough to sustain you till the rain comes." And I think it didn't rain for a few years, in a couple of years at least. "Till the rain comes, you will have enough." Isn't that amazing? Now, the widow could have said, "Listen, first you give me that much bread, then I'll be happy to give you a little bit." You know, listen, when you have stacks of bread at home, giving somebody a loaf is no big deal, isn't it? It's when you have nothing, when you have very little, to give that little that you have, that's a big deal. Okay? And that's the test of faith. You see, if you can see it, there's no faith involved. If you have it, there's no faith involved. Faith is when you're saying, "I can't see it, I don't have it, but I'm going to give it." That's faith. Okay? And so we see that this widow, thankfully, had faith. Okay. Now imagine if she decided, she said, "No, I don't think I can believe that." And said, "Elijah, I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's just for me and my son." What would be the result? They would have eaten and they would have died. That's it. Okay. Elijah, God would have provided for him through some other means. This time the ravens came. You don't know next time what could have come. So the issue was not that Elijah was in need. It was God was providing the widow an opportunity for her breakthrough. Thankfully, the widow in verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for a family. The miracle took place. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken to Elijah. I mean, wouldn't it have been amazing to see this little thing of oil? You know, she's pouring it, it's just a little bit left, and she puts it back again. Oh, there's still more left. Pouring it. How is it happening? You know, taking out the flour, okay, that seems to be just one handful of flour, takes it out and puts it there. And then she puts a hand in again, there's another handful of flour. And it's just not running dry. They ate and they survived for a long time because that's what God said. You know? This widow received her breakthrough. She gave the little that she had, and she had abundance, not for just one day or a couple of days, but for months and even a couple of years. That was not the end of her blessing. You know, so she sowed and she reaped, but that was not the only thing that she reaped. Look at what else she reaped. Verse 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. In other words, he died. All right? That was it. He died. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy upon this widow who I'm staying with, causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to you." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Whoa, miracle. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Whoa. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." You know, that's a real funny statement there. You know, all this while she's been seeing the miracle. You know, we would have believed him on that. Listen, the flour is not getting over. The oil is not getting over. Wow. Living miracle in the house. And it's only after her son is raised from the dead, she says, "Now I know you're really a prophet." You know, anyway. So, but the point is, if the woman had turned Elijah away and said, "Sorry, I can't share my bread with you," her son would have died and there would have been no resurrection. But because she opened her home and gave generously to Elijah, not only did she receive in kind, she sowed flour, she got back flour and oil, but she got a breakthrough in healing and well-being. Amen. So, this morning, I want to challenge us this morning. We're coming to our gift day offering today. All right? Some gave last week, but really today and next week is when we want to give. And I want to put God's word before you and say, listen. Number one is, are you looking for a breakthrough? If you're looking for a breakthrough, okay, then really this is what we've got to do. Where we are giving sacrificially, giving generously. All right? That's what God is looking for. And we've seen it over and over again in Scripture. This was just a little introduction to the message. I'm going to give you a few more things this morning to stir our hearts and build faith so that we can give. So, if you're looking for a breakthrough, okay, one of the ways to step into the promises and the provision and the protection of God is to give with great faith and great abandon. Okay? That lady didn't have packets and packets of bread. She had one loaf. And she was willing to part with a part of that. That's the kind of giving that God is looking for. All right? And so we're going to look this morning at how should we give? At the end of the day, you know, at Word of Grace, in everything we do, we want to be biblical. Right? We want to be biblical. So I'm going to look at five things about how we need to give this morning. Because what can happen is, we can give to fulfill, we can give to just fulfill an obligation. Oh, everybody's giving. I don't want to look bad. I'll also give something, and so we can put something down. But we want to see how we can give biblically, and I'm going to look at five ways we can give biblically. What is the example in the Bible? Okay, but before we give, you know, just to say that, what is this money we're giving towards going for? Did you all get the message that I sent yesterday? Yeah, on WhatsApp, most of you must have got it. And I'm just going to pull it up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. You know, so one of the things, very quickly, what are we giving for? One of the things is we want to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth. Okay, as I said last week, the most precious possession is the human soul. There are billions of people who don't know right from wrong. Okay, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the foreign registration office here. Yeah, where foreigners who come here have to go and register. You know, to get your police clearance, to get your registration, to get your passport clearance. We've got a, you know, the people in authority demand what? Bribes. Why? Because there is no fear of God. They're serving a God of money. But what we are telling people is, listen, one day you will die and you will stand before Jesus and He will judge you for your sins. Repent. Turn away from those sins and turn to Jesus. Okay? Because without Jesus, your friends, my friends, neighbors are going to end up in the most horrible place called hell. Okay? So our responsibility is to take the gospel and say, people, repent. Turn to Jesus because you're going to die and go to hell. The second thing we want to do is we want to uplift the poor and needy. Okay, one of the things we're giving to is towards education. Because if you want to lift the poor up, yeah, it's education. You remember Suresh's story last week? Yeah, wasn't that an amazing testimony? Okay, from really rags to riches. Okay, that, and it's really what set him apart is the fact that, of course, God was watching over him, but education. You know, so we are involved in supporting the poor with education. And then, of course, there's feeding the poor and the needy. Every Christmas, we make these ration hampers, rice, wheat, dal, oil, tea, sugar, all these things, you know, about 15 kilos worth of stuff, enough for a small family for a month. Okay? We get that, and we want to give it to the poor in our city. Listen, we have so much. For them, that'll make such a difference. 1 month's ration is being taken care of. Why are we doing it? We're saying, we love Jesus. Jesus has blessed us. We want to be a blessing. Also, you know, we have the Gideons. And the Gideons are amazing. They give, they place Bibles in hotels, in colleges, in schools, and they give Bibles throughout the world. Have you ever been to a hotel and seen a Gideon's Bible in there? Yeah, that's it. And there have been remarkable stories of people who, staying in a hotel, suddenly they read the Bible and they came to faith. Okay? Their lives were transformed. And so in the past we've given to Gideons, we want to give to them again because we want the Word of God to go throughout. Then one of the greatest needs in the world, problems in the world today is human trafficking. Okay? Exploitation of women and children. Yeah? And that's happening all over the world. It's happening in India. It's happening in our city. Okay? And it's happening often against the will of people. Young girls are kidnapped or sold into forced prostitution and abuse. Now, what can we do about it? We can pray, but we can also give. And there are many organizations. There's one called Justice and Care that works with this, and we want to give towards that as well. Then, of course, we want to invest in leadership training, development, and making disciples. All right? That's what we want to do. you know, that's helpers and others who come into the church to grow. You know, you remember the story of Abdullah, you know. 3 years ago, he walked in here, unbeliever. This March, he went out of here, you know, trained and going for further training. You know, he gave up his amazing job saying that, listen, I'm going to live for the gospel. Wow. That's the kind of investment we want to make and develop people for the sake of the gospel. And then we want to work at strengthening marriages. You know, one of the things that's really affecting society today is the breakdown of marriages. And we want to, you know, in the past we've had some marriage courses and stuff, but we want to renew that, okay? Marriages, also working with youth, yeah? Young people, that's another area that we want to invest in, and of course, training children. Okay? And of course, then we also need stuff for Word of Grace. You know, if you've heard the worship, you can hear the drums. There's a horrible sound that comes now, and the kit, which is 12 years old, needs replacement. Okay, all the equipment that you see here, the banners and everything else, came out of people who gave sacrificially towards the gift day. You know, and of course, we want the gospel to go forth. So there are many things that we've said, but let's look this morning. And so the great figure that we've got before us is a faith figure. Okay, just look around. You know, nobody came here in a Rolls Royce this morning. Did you? I didn't know. I mean, you may have. You know, but Olivia, ordinary middle class people. And what God wants is that you give what you can give. You know, don't look around and say, ah. He can give. She can give. You know? But say, listen, I can give. Let me do my bit. Let them do their bit. Let's not worry about them. All right? So how should we give? So I've told you what we need a gift for. A great figure we are aiming for is 10 lakhs. Okay? Let's say it. 10 lakhs. Wow, that's a lot. But we're going to trust God. Okay, now what are we talking about? How should we give? Number one. We need to give passionately. What does passion have to do with giving? Everything. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Can we have that up there, please? John 3:16. You see, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God is a giver. Everything we have comes from God. God gave His most precious possession, His Son, to die for us. That's the extent of God's giving. And God gave us His Son because of love. He loved us. Okay? So our giving needs to be accompanied with much love. That's what I'm talking about, passionate giving. It's not giving with grumbling, but giving with great love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, it says this, "If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can sell your whole house and give it in the offering, but if you don't have love, you gain zero." Okay? So the first attitude I want us to cultivate is, as we are giving this morning, say, "Lord, put love into my heart that I would give with love." Okay? Love. Turn to somebody and say, "Love." Love. That's it. That's the way to give. Love. All right? So if you're not giving with love, don't give, because it's zero. Okay. Next one. So our giving should be passionate. Next, it should be proportionate. You know, how much should we give? Now listen to this. The amount is not as important as the proportion. I'll say that again. The amount is not as important as the proportion. It's not how much you give that's important. It's how much you're keeping back. Okay? It's not how much you're giving. It's how much you're keeping back. Let me explain. You know, for some people, for example, 10,000 rupees may seem like a big amount. Wow, 10,000, I'll give. But you know what? It all depends. Is it a big amount? It all depends on who's doing the giving, isn't it? You know, if you have somebody who's earning 1 lakh a month, 10,000 rupees is nothing. But if you have somebody who's earning 12,000 rupees a month, and that person gives 10,000 rupees, that's a big amount. You understand? That's how it is. So in proportion. Now, where do we get it here? Simple. We get it here in the widow who gave her 2 mites. Yeah? Remember that? It's in, I think it's Mark 12:41. Just check that out. The widow who gave her 2 mites. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in, I like the word used there, threw in large amounts of money. You know, imagine, can you imagine all those 1,000 rupee notes and the 500 rupee notes? Have you seen people coming with bundles to the bank? Yeah, you see these guys coming and they've got, you know, I'm standing in line with a few notes here and this guy's got a little bag, takes it out, stacks of notes. So I have to wait for another 20 minutes while the machine is counting it. But so this is what must have happened. Rich people came there, there was a little offering box and they would walk in and, you know, take the bag out and drop in bundles of notes. Yeah? And it says that this little poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. She must have put in like 2 50-paise coins in there. Ding, ding. Okay? Now, what happened? Calling his disciples to him, verse 43, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." Now, that must have been a mathematical... The disciples saying, she put in 2 coins. These guys put in bundles of notes. How could she give more than them? Please explain. And Jesus explained. And he said, listen, truly. He said, they all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So you see, the proportion is important. Whether you give 500 or 5,000 or 50,000 or 1 lakh or more, the amount is not as important as the proportion. Are we getting that? You know, and the key thing here is what Jesus was watching and keeping track of all that was happening. You know, and really what helps us to give in this proportionate thing is to remember that everything we have belongs to God. Now, imagine a father taking his son out. Let's say with Sunit, taking him out, you know, there's a little son who can talk and all that, to McDonald's, okay? And he orders him a nice burger and cheese and French fries and a Coke. The son loves it. And he's chomping away at the food. And the father goes and wants to say, "May I have a French fry?" And the boy says, "No." 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 You know, that father's taken back a bit. What's happening here? And really, what has happened? You see, we're all born inherently selfish. Isn't that true? Babies, right from their birth till they meet Christ, we're born with selfish, self-centered tendencies. And kids do that, yeah? Where the parents give them, but they say, "No, you can't have, that's mine." Now, what the child has forgotten is that the father is the source of that wonderful meal. The father drove the child there. The father paid for the Big Mac and the French fries and gave it to the child. So really, the child didn't pay for it. It's just the father who has provided everything. And the child has not realized, the number one, that the father is the source. Number two is that the father could just take it away, all right, if he wanted to. Number three is that the father has money to go and buy 10 French, you know, packets of French fries. He doesn't really need that thing. Okay, he's asking that because he wants to teach that child to share and to be unselfish. Okay? And so, this morning, as we prepare to give, okay, let's say, "Lord, what's the right proportion for me? All right, well, what can I give?" help me to give proportionately. So whether, like I said, whether it's 5,000 or 50,000 or 1 lakh or 2 lakhs or whatever it is, it's in proportion. I just want to say that last year, the highest individual offering we received was 1,05,000. Amen? And there were many who gave 50,000 and 30,000 and other amounts. So I want you to think big this morning. Because often we don't know. You know, we may be writing a check. Okay, I've given 3,000 and that's great. And I'm earning 1 lakh a month. You know? It's not in proportion. Okay. The third thing we need to give is we need to give generously. Okay, everybody say generously. Okay. Now, what is... Now, this is New Testament giving. Okay? It's generous. Last week we looked at Mary and the alabaster jar. You know, she broke the jar on Jesus' feet. No, broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' feet. Okay? And what was the jar worth? 1 year's wages. Wow! So that was a lot. Okay? 1 year's wages. And so you see, in the New Testament, we have a picture of how much to give. You know, it wasn't that she opened the jar and took a little bit and rubbed it. She broke the jar. Now imagine, just multiply your salary by 12. That's how much Mary poured on Jesus. We have Zacchaeus. Somebody mentioned Zacchaeus today. You know, he was this tax collector. You know what he did? In 19 verse 8, he says, "Look, Lord," when Jesus came into his life and he got salvation. "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." Wow, that's a lot. Okay, 1 year's wages is one thing. This is half of all my possessions to the poor. Ooh, that is generous giving. Okay, here's another one. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, Barnabas was called Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he had and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Okay? So here we are seeing that in the New Testament, giving is generous. It's abundant. It's not, you know, what's the least I can get away with? No, it's a year's wages. It's 50% of what I own. It's selling a field and giving. Get the idea. Okay. The fourth thing that God is looking for. Okay? He's looking for sacrifice in our giving. Sacrificial giving. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, okay, there was a plague sent upon the people of Israel and many people died. And the plague stopped at the 2 Samuel 24:24. The plague stopped at the threshing floor of a man called Aruna the Jebusite. And the prophet Gad told David, "Go and sacrifice at that threshing floor." So David goes there. Well, you know, so David went up there and he said to Aruna in verse 21, "I've come here to buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord so that the plague on the people may be stopped." Aruna was a generous guy. This is what he said. "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offerings. Here are the threshing sledges and the ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty," Aruna gives all this to the king. Wow, wasn't he a generous guy? You know, the king could have taken it. Somebody's giving it, I'll just offer it. But see what David's attitude said. But the king replied to Aruna, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Next verse, is that verse 24? Yeah, that's right. "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." As you're going to give this morning, ask yourself, is this costing me? Is this costing me? Okay? Because often we can give, but it doesn't cost, doesn't pinch us. You know, I could write out a check for 5,000. It doesn't, makes no dent in me. Give it out. You know, but really, is it costing me? Okay? Is it pinching me? That's the attitude God wants from us. Okay? That we're saying, "Lord," you know, it is. Psalm 107, I think, says, those who sow in tears will come reaping sheaves with joy. Okay? What does it mean, sowing in tears? It means it's costing me something. Get it? That's what it means. Yeah, there is a cost. The widow who gave the bread to Elijah, it was costing her. This is my last meal. You know, I'm giving part of it to Elijah. I'll have nothing. There was pain. Okay? We look at the examples of the Macedonians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. You know? You may be saying, Colin, but I don't have much. Let's look at the Macedonians. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Verse 2. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Okay, now these are all examples from the Bible. Then what did they do? They were in extreme poverty. That's what they were, extreme poverty. But what did they do? He says they had rich generosity. Okay? They gave as much as they were able. You may be thinking, I can give this much. But they went even beyond their ability. They said, this is going to stretch me, and I'm giving there. Okay? And finally, the fifth attitude that we need to have in giving is our giving must be faith-filled. Okay, that means when we give, we're giving in faith, believing that God will do something with our giving. What do we mean by faith-filled? Okay, it's like this. In the Bible, there's a principle of sowing and reaping. Okay? If a farmer wants bananas, what does he need to sow? What does he need to sow? Bananas. If he wants apples, what does he need to sow? Apple seeds, whatever. You know, now imagine a guy sows apple seeds and he's saying, Lord, help me to get bananas. It's not going to happen. Okay? Whatever you sow, that's what you will reap. Simple. And God says in Genesis that as long as the earth endures, you know, sowing and reaping will not end. And this is a principle for the farm. It's a principle for our lives. Okay? And this is it. So, if you want a breakthrough in finance, or if you don't want a breakthrough, you have finance. It's okay. But as you sow money, you will get back money. And when you get back, you get much more than what you've sown. Yeah? A farmer doesn't take 1 kilo of seed and sow it. He doesn't expect 1 kilo. He expects 100 kilos. Okay, so it's an act of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul reminds us that remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God's heart is towards a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you will need, you will abound in every good work. So as we give, we need to remind ourselves that, hey, God promises that as we sow, we will reap and He will give us abundantly. All right? We need to give in faith. If you're not giving in faith, it's useless. Say, Lord, I'm giving, believing your word. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay? So, number one is, as we sow in faith, expect a blessing on earth. Okay? Expect a blessing on earth. I don't know how long it will take. Okay? Some crops grow very fast. Some take a long time. So, we're saying, Lord, I'm obeying you. I'm doing it in faith. It'll come. All right. Second thing is that your generosity will be rewarded not just on earth, but in heaven. All right? So what do you mean he'll be rewarded in heaven? Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 18 to 19. You know, God is not against us storing up treasure. Isn't that good news? He's not against, you're surprised, He's not against us storing up treasures. All He's concerned about is where we are storing up treasures. Is it on earth or is it in heaven? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 18 and 19, Timothy says, talking about the rich, he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19, in this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. What is Jesus saying? You know, elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Now the question is, how do we get our money from earth to heaven? Western Union? NEFT? Will any of these things get it there? What's the IFSC code of the bank in heaven? Okay, so Jesus is saying, store up treasures in heaven. Okay, how do you do that? As we give to the poor, as we give towards God's work, your account in heaven is getting credited. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, and he said, and that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know, the most miserable people are the ones who have a lot of money but won't share it around. You know that, yeah? That's how it is, because money doesn't bring you happiness. In fact, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. As you give, your joy increases, you know? It's like this. Giving is like breathing, okay? Or rather breathing out. It's like this. You know, we can expect to get and get and get, and that's like breathing in. Try it. Don't breathe out, just breathe in. Listen, you want to be happy, start breathing out, give away as well. And that's how it is, because in the kingdom you can say, Lord, give me salvation, Lord, give me a good husband, wife, children, health, protection, give, give. Okay, but we say, look, I've got to give out, otherwise I'm going to be unhappy. Alright, okay, so this morning we've looked at, if you want a breakthrough, you've got to give. And we looked at five ways in which to give. Give with love. If you don't have love, don't give. Because it's zero value. That's what the Bible says. Okay? We're giving with love. We're giving with faith. We're giving generously. Okay? We're giving knowing that we're going to receive a reward in heaven. We're giving, not tipping, but we are giving in proportion. It's important. Very important, proportion. So what we've done is, we're going to take the offering in a bit, but we've got these pledge forms, okay? And if you would like a pledge form, put your hand up, the ushers will give you a pledge form. What do I mean by pledge form? It's like this, Nawaz and I want to give, but I don't have the money now to give, okay? I know the money will come, but I don't have the money now, but I want to give in faith. So I'm saying, this is what we're giving, this is the date we're going to give it by, and that's it. We're putting a pledge form. If you have the money now, wonderful. You know, you could just give it out there. We're going to have the band come here. Yeah, and we've got envelopes as well, okay? The gift day envelopes. If anybody has brought your check or your offering, you can put it in the envelope. Yeah, it's with a red thing on top. Yeah, the envelope. All right, and the offering baskets will come, and you can just put your regular offering as well in the basket. If you're giving towards gift day, if you're giving towards gift day, use an envelope. All right, there's an envelope, or use the pledge form. Okay, we'll have the usher standing at four sides of the room. Yeah. Yeah, maybe one. Somebody can come here. Yeah. Alex, this side here. Van, come on. Yeah. Yeah, not go back, man. Come in front. All right, come. Donati, come in front here. Oh, maybe you can go there. That side. Thank you. Great. Four sides of the room. All right. Are we ready? Okay. One of the things is God says God loves a cheerful giver. That word is hilarious. Hilarious means laughing. All right? So we are not come to a funeral. Okay, well, we're come to bless our Lord who has given us everything. All right? So I'm going to pray right now before we come up and give. So can we stand together? Lord, we thank you, Father in heaven, that you gave your one and only Son, Lord. Lord, you showed us that you loved us by giving your most precious possession. Holy Spirit, we invite you, come upon us this morning, Lord. We want to be like Zacchaeus and Mary and David and Barnabas and the others, the widow, who gave with love, who gave in proportion. Lord, who gave generously, who gave cheerfully, Lord, who gave with faith. Lord, would you come upon us, Lord? Lord, only you can change our hearts, Lord. How would you do that this morning? Lord, may our offering be a sweet-smelling incense unto you today, Lord. Come upon us. We ask you, would you bless the work of our hands? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, over to the band. We'll sing. Let's come dancing and give. Let's celebrate.
The song says, ready. Song says, ready to respond. Are you ready to respond? Gather ready, God.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We acknowledge that everything we have is from you. Thank you for your great salvation, Lord, for sending Jesus to die for us. Lord, I now pray upon all these gifts that have come to you, Lord. Lord, your word promises abundance, having all that you need at all times. That's what you've said, Lord. Lord, you said, whoever gives, whoever sows generously will reap generously. We pray great blessing upon each and every one who's given or pledged, that they would see abundance 100-fold upon their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.